Well, good morning. Today, in this first Sunday after Easter, we're going to look at a beautiful, captivating story about these two followers of Jesus on a road the day Jesus rose from the dead. So I'm going to be reading from Luke 24, starting verse 13. You can follow along in your order of worship, or you could just listen as I read. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see. And he said to them, 'Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. While he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those who were there gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told him what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread." This is God's word. It's given for our good. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for what we celebrated last Sunday can affect our day-to-day lives, including today. We thank you for the hope of the resurrection that offers us peace and comfort, that offers us security in life, and offers us a chance to believe that you love us and that you are present with us right now. May we feel that even now as we spend time in your word. In your name, amen. So a few weeks ago, one of you invited me to a Chicago Bulls game, and I was pretty excited because I'm a big sports fan, and even though the Bulls are not that great of a team, they're still my team, and I follow them. And they don't know how to respond. Like me standing here while you're staring at me quietly when we don't have the mics on was unexpected, and I didn't know how to respond. These followers of Jesus, understandably, had their hopes crushed. Their Savior had died. The man that they thought was going to lead them to glory was condemned on a cross. And so Luke records this situation of these two followers of Jesus in verse 17 by just saying this simply. And they stood still, looking sad. And it's in this sadness that Jesus meets them on the road. You know, what I love about Jesus is how he comes upon this scene. He comes upon the chaos and the wrong perspectives and the misunderstandings, and he listens to them, he challenges them, he teaches them, and then we're going to see that he feeds them with an amazing picture of who he is. So this morning, it is good for us. It is good for us on this day, this week after Easter, to reflect upon the resurrection of our Savior again. It is good to know that he responds in our lives just like he did to these two on the road by coming alongside us, by listening to us, by teaching us, and by feeding us. And so our passage today begins on the day that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. Some had heard the rumor that he had risen. Some believed. Some thought that it was foul play. And there was a state of confusion going on. And Jerusalem was in uproar. And in this confusion, we find these two followers of Jesus on a road heading to Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. These two followers of Jesus, one named Cleopas and one who we don't know their name. And we find on these two on the road discussing and talking intently about what is going on. They were trying to figure out the meaning of the events at hand. And they're debating and questioning so much. The way that the Greek describes it is it's almost like an intense disagreement or argument. So much so that they don't even notice that a person starts walking alongside with them. They're in such a state of shock and sadness and confusion, they don't even realize that Jesus is walking with them. And there is so much about the beginning of this passage that I truly love. It's beautiful to me that Luke, recording this gospel, tells us the story of Easter, but we don't hear any of the details of Christ's appearance in the garden tomb. But instead, Luke takes us a distance away to these two followers of Jesus. One of them, we don't even know their name. Luke is telling the resurrection account, and he decides to bring in these two previously unknown characters in the story. They were not a part of the 12. They were probably not in the inner circle. But these were the two that were met by Jesus on the road. And I love that so much. I love that Jesus comes to those that we might feel are insignificant or less important. I love that Jesus comes to those confused, unclear, doubting, questioning, heartbroken people on the road. And I love how tender and personal he is with these two, that he knows deeply and he loves passionately. And friends, I just want to say, this is our Savior today. He knows each and every one of you deeply, and he loves each and every one of you passionately. And he meets us in whatever journey or road that we are on. Luke uses traveling on a road or journeying throughout his gospel. And when he describes journeys, he's not just giving facts. He's highlighting what it means and illustrating what it means to walk with Jesus, to follow Jesus, to journey with Jesus. And the reality is we often look for Jesus in the wrong places. We want the dramatic mountaintop moments. We want the ecstatic, high crescendos of experiences with God. And sometimes God does meet us in those moments. Sometimes God does, in amazing moments, come to us. But sometimes Jesus just walks with his followers on a dirty road talking to them. I love that exciting mountaintop experiences are not the only place we meet Jesus. And I love in the mundane, simple things we do to try to follow him, Jesus walks with us. The life of faith is about walking with God and following Jesus and abiding with him in the ordinary things of life. So for those of you today that are near the end of your semester in school, you're tired, you're worn out, you're ready to be done. God is walking with you. Jesus is walking with you right now. For those of you who are cutting off the crust of a sandwich for your child that they probably won't eat because it's the wrong jelly, that and other parenting experiences, the mundane things of life, that is a place Jesus is walking with you. For those of you that are in a job right now that seems dead and just boring and non-important at all, Jesus is walking with you right now. Jesus is with you right now when you're trying to be faithful to what God has called you to do in the hard things and then just everyday life things. This is what it means to be a follower of Jesus, that we walk with him and he is with us even if we don't notice him. These two disciples are following and walking on the road, and Luke records that Jesus draws near to them and they don't recognize him. In fact, it says their eyes were kept from recognizing him. This is one of the strange details that we hear in the gospel about the resurrection, various places. The body of Jesus resurrected was the same and yet different. But as well, at the end of Luke, I think we're seeing an illustration of something that he has been talking about throughout his gospel, the difference between sight and understanding, between seeing Jesus and grasping his identity. And this is an important theme that Luke addresses throughout his book. But it is important to acknowledge that it says their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Their eyes were held back from truly seeing Jesus at that point so that they could see him clearer in the end. They are blinded from seeing Jesus so they could hear his words again and his teachings and be challenged and eventually be seen him breaking open the bread and giving it to them, and their eyes will be opened for them. I love how theologian and scholar N.T. Wright puts it. He says, perhaps Luke is saying that we can only know Jesus, only recognize him in any sense, when we learn how to see him in the true story of God, Israel, and the world. You see, they are unable to see in order to see more clearly eventually. And this happens to you and me as well. There are times, if you are a follower of Jesus today, where we don't understand what's going on. We can't see what is happening. We're unsure of what's going on. And what happens is often we don't like what we see. We don't like how we feel. We don't like what we think we know. Related to this, the small group that I lead on Wednesday nights, we have been starting a new book. We're looking at Philippians. We started this week in Philippians 1. And we talked about a passage that might be familiar to some of you in Philippians 1, where it says, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ. And we talked about how hard it is to believe that at times. It is hard to see God working at times. It's hard to wait for the completion of things that don't seem to change. To not just get stuck in the hardships, the failures, trying to do the good work and failing again and again and again. We don't like what we see. We don't like how we feel. We don't like what we think we know. And Jesus meets us in these places. Jesus enters into the confusion and the question and the misunderstandings we all have, and he enters us into the story to give us the truth we need. He enters into this story with these two followers of Jesus on the road by asking them a question he already knew the answer to. What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk? Now, Jesus knows exactly what they're talking about. They're talking about him. Cleopas is incredulous. He says, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened? The irony is Jesus is the only one truly in the know at this point. But he listens. Jesus continues to listen and in love just responds, what things? And the response, we see this idea of confusion or misunderstanding or wrong perception. Because in 19 through 24, Cleopas is describing what the followers of Jesus believed about him. And it is true. Jesus is powerful in words and deeds, but they didn't understand how he was to use that power. It is true, as he says, that Jesus was a great prophet. But these followers of Jesus, they did not take seriously Jesus' own prophetic words about his suffering, death, and resurrection. I mean, these were followers of God, these two on the road. They were followers of Jesus. They believed he was a great prophet and redeemer. They loved him. They trusted him. But they felt let down by God. They felt like they had placed their hope in the wrong person. And they expressed their words this way in verse 21. We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. We had hoped that Israel would be liberated once again from the pagan dominion that was, so we could be free to serve God in peace and holiness. We had hoped that Jesus would drive out the Romans and establish the Davidic kingdom, and he would come in power and glory and reign. But a Messiah who managed to get himself caught, crucified, and buried was disappointing reality to these two. See, they had such an expectation of how God was to work in this Messiah that even as they described the woman at the tomb and the angelic angels coming to them and the tomb being empty and how the disciples ran and saw it, it didn't change their wrong perspective or their misunderstood response. And so Jesus does what he does to us as well. In love, he challenges them. Oh, foolish ones, oh, slow to heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into glory? Jesus calls attention to their lack of understanding and their failure to orient themselves around Jesus' teachings. And these seem like hard words, but they are true words. And as a follower of Jesus, we often don't understand what's going on, as I already said. And there are times when we misunderstand the situation and we have a wrong perspective. We want a Messiah that does lead us in glory and peace and health, and good times. We want a Messiah to lead us in power and strength. This is the type of Messiah that we want to follow. And you know what? He is leading us to glory, and he is leading us in power. His kingdom has come, and his kingdom will come again. But we must hear these words to our often foolish thoughts and slow hearts. Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? We must understand that the Jesus in the story of Scripture and how he leads us in glory and power is very different than what we would have expected him to do. And that's why Jesus in verse 27 says this to them, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself." This is such an important verse, not only to understand our passage, but all of Scripture. What this verse tells us in this passage is that what just happened to Jesus in his death and his resurrection can only be understood in light of Scripture, but as well, Scripture can only be understood in light of what just happened to Jesus. These followers on the road had this idea of the story of God being he would save Israel from suffering. But the story of God that Jesus tells them again is he was going to save through suffering, especially the suffering of the Messiah, the suffering servant, the one that Old Testament lesson in Isaiah today was all about. And this verse helps us in understanding what the whole of Scripture is all about, that it is a story of Jesus. It is a Christological story of hope. It is a revelation centered on the work and the power of Jesus, and this is an amazing truth to believe. We are missing out on what the Bible says if we do not understand how it connects to Jesus' death and resurrection, and to understand that the Bible is not just about us. Yes, the Bible does help us at times, and it provides what we need, and meditating on scriptures and reading God's word can be helpful for our day-to-day lives. I am all for reading God's word. But we have to understand that the star of the story, the point of the story, is not getting our needs met. The point of the story is Jesus. I read this week about a sociologist named Christian Smith who years ago now was writing about what the real religion of America is all about. Like what people would maybe say they want or they act like religion or the Bible or God is. And what he says is the real religion of America is moralistic therapeutic deism. Moralistic therapeutic deism. Moralistic meaning that the point of religion is we need to be good, we need to be nice, we need to be fair to each other, and that's what the Bible is all about. Therapeutic meaning the center goal of life is to be happy and to feel good about yourselves. What we need is not salvation or redemption, but we need empathy, support, and guidance. And deism is that there is a God that made everything, but you know, he's not really involved in our lives unless we need him if we have a problem. The Bible is more than giving us good rules or good comfort or good problem solving. The Bible is a story of a God who loves us and gave his son to us to save us. And so Luke is telling this story and he invites his listeners, including you and I, to have our hearts burn within, as it says in verse 32, because of what Jesus has done for us. Our minds and our hearts can be alive and burning because of the resurrection of Jesus and how the scriptures point us to that. And I love that Jesus points the scriptures to himself, tells them the important words of wisdom to these followers, and then the next thing he does is he gives them a beautiful picture of all that he provides as he joins with them in table fellowship. Hospitality and table fellowship are over and over again seen in the life of Jesus on this earth. These two disciples, these followers of Jesus, are walking near the village. They almost get there, and Jesus acts like he's going to go a little further. I mean, it's an interesting line, I think, that Luke gives us. I mean, was he faking them out? Was he pulling a prank? Was he playing hard to get? And I think just like the questions earlier in the passage, he knew the answer to. He is acting like he's going to go further to help draw these followers in more to pursue him. I think he does this still today. And because of that action, they urge him to stay as their guest for the evening. But as soon as he's at the table, Jesus went from being the guest to being the host. Over and over again in the Gospels, we see that the table was a place where Jesus was heard and where his presence came across most intimately. And every week, we are reminded of that in this meal we're going to take, that he is present with us today. And so just like the feeding of the 5,000 and just like the meal in the upper room, he took the bread, he blessed and broke it, and he gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Our Savior still does this today for us. He keeps revealing to us himself today. He is the bread of life. And the scriptures are clear that whoever comes to him will not grow hungry. Whatever needs you're longing for, whatever desires you have, whatever things that you keep waiting for that doesn't seem to come, These are hard times. I know what it is like. But as you wait, as you long, as you hope, feed on Jesus. He offers the satisfaction that we all need. So our story ends in this celebration, and they immediately run back to tell the disciples after Jesus disappears. They run back to tell the 11 the good news that he has risen indeed. And so my ending to us all today is, whether this is the first time or the 1,000th time, please believe this truth and be a follower of Jesus on the road who listens to God's word about God's Son. Be a follower on the road who feasts on God's grace, and be a follower on the road who believes in the good news that Jesus has risen. He has risen indeed. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your Son. We thank you that you meet us on the road and you teach us and you listen to us and you feed us. And as we get ready to feast on this table of grace, may we be reminded that you love us and that you feed us and you provide everything we need. In your name, amen.